My name is Kirsty, and I am the host of the Mindset and Me podcast. Formerly, I'm an accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, and wellness expert. I'm obsessed with helping you navigate the messy middle and find clarity in every season of life. Informally, I'm a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the life lessons and learnings from the most incredible guests to help you gain clarity and get into an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode, I am joined by my amazing client. I'm so excited to introduce you to her. She is honestly one of the most energetic and empowering women that I've ever met, and it's actually an honor to work with her. She truly inspires me, and so I was really excited to share her work and her story with you today. Chrissy is the founder of the Mikhail Consulting Group, and she is an organizational psychologist, change management expert, but all-round amazing human being. What she does within companies and for individuals is incredible. So welcome to the podcast, Chrissy. You're going to explain that a lot better than me.
Thank you. You did such a great job. What an honor and what a wonderful opening. Thank you for that. Yeah, first of all, I have been so thrilled working with you for the last year and a half, I think. That's how long we've been working together. Yeah. And I've loved every bit of it. And we were just kind of chatting, really, right? Talking about what I've been doing and how long I've been in business. And so we decided to kind of bring it here. So talking about what I do, I've been in change management for about almost 15 years. And I've been working as an independent consultant for over three years. And I got my master's in organizational psychology, and I've been practicing as an independent consultant then. And a lot of the things that I've been very focused on and really passionate about are culture, organizational trauma that kind of leads to the impact of change to all of the people. So when people think about change management, they're just changing processes. But the reality is we're changing human behavior. And human behavior is one of the hardest things to change. Mm-hmm. And so as an organizational psychologist, working with people who've gone through organizational trauma, like a merge, an acquisition, potential change in the CEO, change management is really important. So coming up and building things around that to help people navigate those changes that are thrust upon them or changes that they seek in their life. So that's what I've been doing.
It's amazing. And I think as well, the way you talk about it, so your language that you use is really empowering, but it's also really relatable. So I guess it would be really interesting for us to kind of, let's go back. You've obviously been an expert and you've been doing this for so long, but why do you do this and why are you so passionate about it? And what's your story? Kind of what got you into this space?
Yeah, I love that question. So the reality is people are so scared of change. And I've always said my mission is to ensure that people don't approach change with fear. So I want to make sure that all of the people that I touch, all of the people I come across, look at change from the lens of an opportunity of empowerment instead of a debilitating situation. So when I became an organizational psychologist and I started working in culture, I started to realize the biggest issue was that we're not focusing on the human's response to this change we're asking people to adopt. And so they're very averse to change because let's be honest, we're creatures of habit. We don't like change. We want the norm because it's comfortable. So I really wanted to start focusing on how do we make sure these people adopt change with excitement, with empowerment, and with the desire to be the champion for this change.
And I think that's really rare and actually a really rare story around it, because everyone's looking at the bigger picture, but the bigger picture can only be achieved when all the small components within it
are taken care of, you know, and I guess the bigger picture being like the company, but actually if the individuals are not taken care of, you know, it's really, really difficult. And so I guess what have you seen? Like, say somebody's listening to this and thinking, God, I'm literally going through like so many changes right now, or my company is. Where do they begin to feel comfortable with being uncomfortable?
So I love that question. You and I have worked on this course together, right? We've built a course. Yeah. We built a course that goes from doubt of change to adoption of change.
Yeah.
And it's the 6-week course that it's basically group therapy. Yeah. And that's what we kind of go through every week.
Yeah.
But I think people come to comfort in change when they realize that it's not happening to them. They are being empowered to be a part of something.
Yeah.
So once they recognize they are building something versus something's happening to them, I think that makes the shift.
How does somebody get there though? Because I know me and you talk about change every 2 weeks on our calls. but how does somebody get there? Like they see where they want to be, they see the path, you know, the goal, but actually like it is super scary. And like, how do you remove the fear around it? Because I know for one, you know, we've talked about, I've made huge changes in my life, as have you recently. And actually it is really scary. So what is like maybe something that people will recognize as a result of that, but an action point that they can take, like something really attainable today?
Yeah, I love that question. Really good, Kirsty.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
So good at interviewing. I feel like the most tangible things that one can do is to take stock of what's happening. So for example, what's happening in my life, what's recently happened in your life. I think what's really important is that we stop and take stock of what's actually happening. Mm. How much of it are we the cause of it? Mm-hmm. How much of it is just happening to us?
Yeah.
And I think when we realize I'm the one who controls X, but I can't control Y.
Yeah.
I need to put all of my energy into X and how I'm going to respond to that so that I then can be empowered to be comfortable with this change. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes amazing sense. It's like we could talk about this one point, I swear, for like 3 hours, because it's so hard to do. So, you know, the difficulty with the coaching industry, and we've spoken about this, is that it encourages change constantly, which is great. But actually, if you don't have the clear foundations on what exactly you want, how many resources you have, how comfortable you are with being in that space, how much safety and support you have around you, it's actually really, really difficult. And so, you know, when you've made these huge changes and you've stepped into these different ways of life, and, you know, you've left big companies to set up your own consultancy, which, by the way, like, is just phenomenal. You know, we met when you worked in a company. So like this is recent stuff, and you are like killing it. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. But what's the goal? Like what's the thing? Like the thing that they can see, you know, that lights them up. Like what's the thing to keep them on track? Because I know for me, you know, I have a story and I have a way that I deal with things, but it's personable to me. And so sometimes I feel like, well, if I share that, that's not going to really work for somebody else. But what's something that you've seen, I guess, from talking to lots of individuals that you can kind of share?
So there's a couple of things that you said. One of them was you mentioned that there are so many resources and there's so many options and you have a circle around you. Here's what's the key, though. People don't believe that. People don't think they have a circle. People think they're the only ones going through this. It's like when you hear about people going through a trauma that have gone through something like in their childhood, but they never really wanted to talk about, but then they eventually got the courage to talk about it. It's like all of a sudden, all of these people are coming to them and telling them, oh my God, I lived with the same thing. I went through the same thing. I did. The problem is we all think too much that we're alone, but we're not alone. We have a circle and there are resources. And so I think that's one of the big keys. For me, though, when you talk about the changes that went in my life, and like you said, recently leading a large organization and being launching my own consultancy, I went through multiple changes in 18 months.
Yeah,
I experienced COVID with the rest of the world. I was let go from my job because it was in the travel industry. So as soon as COVID hit, that was dead. I went through multiple verbal job offers that never converted into written job offers in 2020. And then I launched my firm. And the only reason why I launched my firm was because I thought I need income right now.
Yeah.
And I am no longer going to let someone else tell me what I can and can't do with my life. Like, I was sitting there waiting for a job offer to come through, and it just never came, even though I'd been given three verbals. So I thought, you know, I can't wait for anybody else to tell me what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to do with it. I'm going to do it myself. And those are three major traumatic things that I was like, hold on, I've been a change manager for years. I know how to handle this change. This is what I'm going to build my practice around. And so that's what I did, making damn sure people knew they weren't alone.
And it's beautiful the way that you've done it, though. And you have done that. Like, obviously, we've worked on the branding and the marketing and, you know, loads of different things, but it's your language and it's you. And I think that's why I really wanted to get you on the podcast, because your energy is really unique. And I think that's something different. You know, when you're working in a company, we both go into companies and we work in companies. Actually, people think that you need to act a certain way, right? That you need to, and actually what they need is your personality and your unique, you know, my mantra for life is like, I have unique and valuable things to say, right? And that's what they need to hear. Yeah. Thank you. But like, it's so true. Like, that's the difference, I think. And you've done that beautifully. So I guess, you know, talk to me about the journey of setting that up, because we're here now. We, you know, you're running these courses in companies, you're doing amazingly well. But talk to me about the process, because again, like, maybe someone's listening thinking, God, I really want to do that, but it's really scary to go and set up on your own.
Yeah, go through the process of building my own business.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that question. So I was actually recently asked this question at a conference for IO psychology students. Yeah. And one of my favorite things to say to them was, find small gig projects. The thing, you don't need to get a big whale client right off the bat. That's not what you need. In fact, you're not going to be ready for that when you start off.
Yeah,
but you are going to be ready for small projects, because when you think about your job and what you're doing for an organization, they're all small bite-sized projects. So what you need to do is start building your organization around small bite-sized projects. And once you've built one project, you were successful, and you got another project, you were successful, that's when they start to become bigger. Projects start to become bigger, and then all of a sudden you have an organization. So what happened with me is, like I said, I just needed money right away. So I went to a platform that sells just gig projects. I started applying for a bunch of different projects, proposed out of different things, and I started getting small project after small project. And those tiny wins were so motivating. And I'm not kidding, I was getting paid $10 an hour for one of them. Like, I came from a six-figure salary. So that tiny project, that win was huge for me. Like, it gave me so much confidence and so much faith that this could happen, you know? And remember, this was during the pandemic. So this was like height of 2020. So any win was a big win. And it took just one project after the other. And then all of a sudden, I capped my salary within 6 months of launching my business, which is crazy.
Yeah, I remember this. I remember you being on a call with me and you landed a whale, basically. And we were like screaming. Yeah. But it was like, it's just amazing. Like, honestly, like you just killed it. 6 months in, I was like, okay, teach me your ways. Perfect. I was like, I'm there with like clients now, but 6 months
learned
in, I definitely wasn't.
From you.
Oh,
learned everything.
Please,
from you.
Please, my goodness. But again, it's being having the humility to do that. I think so often, you know, I'm included, egos come into play, don't they? And you think, well, we know our worth and we know our expertise. And actually, sometimes you just have to be a bit humble and hustle and play the game a bit, and it will pay off.
Totally.
Yeah.
I also think something about humility is really important. Mm. I'm a huge advocate for women knowing their value. In fact, I'm a huge advocate for the fact that women undervalue themselves, and it makes me so angry. Mm-hmm. Because never would a man apologize for their history, for their experience, for who they are. And women do all the time. We doubt ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
And that's just, go watch America Ferrera's monologue on the Barbie movie. Like, it was so spoke to me. But taking that $10 an hour client wasn't about devaluing myself. It was about recognizing I am valuable. I just need to tell everybody else I'm valuable.
I love that.
You know?
I love that so much. It's so powerful. And I think as well, like when you're talking about that, people can't see, your face is literally lighting up. Like, you're so passionate about that. And I know, and that's with the work that you do in the companies you work with, you know, empowering women, because women in the workplace have a really difficult time compared to men. And unfortunately, that is just fact, and they do. And it's very, very difficult as a woman to feel okay with that and feel comfortable with that. And I really, really like that you challenge that in companies as well, and you're a champion for it.
Yeah, and women are thrust change upon them far more often than men.
Yeah.
Right? Women have babies.
Yep.
They have to go on mat leave.
Yep.
They have to hustle before they leave. They have to hustle when they get back. And I'm not taking away from the fact that some men take mat leave and all of this. I don't want to take any of that away. I'm not doing any of that. But there is a little bit more of the change that is thrust upon women. All of a sudden you're back, but your job is different. And it's not quite the ladder you were at. And you're trying to figure out how to place yourself back in the organization. Or do you deserve to be in that org anymore? Or do you want to be somewhere else? It's like these forced changes that we just don't know how to handle because they come out of left field. We don't know about them.
It's really interesting on that point. I was talking with one of my one-to-one clients yesterday. We had this conversation of how, so she's gone back to work part-time. She has two kids who are in private school. And so a lot of the mums there are like full-time mums. So they're doing loads at the school. And then obviously in work, she's not full-time. And she's like, I don't know where I fit in, because she's like, I'm failing at both. And it's so difficult. And she's so tenacious and hardworking and maybe puts too much pressure on herself. But, you know, the full-time staffers kind of expect her to do the same thing. And then the you know, full-time moms expect the same of her. So she's completely stuck.
Yeah. It's so sad that she can be both.
Yeah.
And she can be fan-bloody-tastic at both.
Yeah.
It's just not something society's ready for. That's what we need to change.
And you are changing that. And I just want to echo that. Anyone who works in a company who's listening to this, you know, you are a champion for that. And that's why we've worked together like endlessly. And we can never not work together because I can't cope with it. But like, you have the same morals and values as me. And you say, you know, you genuinely care about the work that you're doing and the people that you're working with. And so, yeah, I just want to reflect to anybody listening, you know, Chrissy's like got a superpower, honestly, when we have our calls, they go on for God knows how long. But like, there's this energy about you that's just, people need it. People need to be around it. And we need to see your work that you're doing, because it will make a difference to this generation and the next generation. And that's what we need.
Of course. Love it.
Yeah. So tell me about something that you've seen within a company that has really shifted for you. You know, I guess like if anybody is listening and their company is going through that, you know, what's the big things that you've made a difference in? Because you, as an organizational psychologist as well, you know, you are so intelligent and such an expert that I kind of want to get all of your little nuggets of advice while I can.
Love it. So one of the most recent things that I've seen, obviously, is the return to office, right? Are we going back or aren't we going back? Why aren't you shifting my life again? We've been fine at home. Everything's great. So I was recently hired to kind of bring people back to the office, but it wasn't just to bring me to the office, but we need to create a culture of engagement because we've been disconnected for 2.5 years. And we really need to reignite that level of engagement with our employees. And so one of the biggest hurdles I had to get over with the employees was, why am I coming back to the office when everything's working remote? Where am I going to put my kids now? Because I was saving so much money and not taking the daycare. So one of the biggest things I had to work with the CEO of that company was, you've got to find the right message for why you're bringing people back. And the answer is not, we don't trust that they're working. That is not the answer. So the biggest change that I've had to implement with a lot of my clients, and specifically this one, was you need better checks and balances. You need to have a better way to measure performance, and it can't be someone's light is green on a Teams call. That's not how you measure performance. That's not how you measure productivity. So what I did with this client was create and implement processes and new productivity measurements, key performance indicators. And then I actually worked with them on defining, when do people really need to collaborate? Maybe you don't need to be in the office every day and there's a happy medium. So the work wasn't just on the employees. It was also on the CEO. But the CEO is like, no, everybody just has to come back. But why? If you don't think they have to come back for any reason outside of, I want to make sure they're working, that's not good enough. Because what you're doing right there is saying you don't trust your employees. And that's a much bigger problem. Because if you don't trust your people, there's a much bigger culture issue that we need to address. So instead of him going down that rabbit hole of figuring out trust on their employees, we build different KPIs and they're thriving.
And it's that though, the trust thing, that's like, I kind of was a bit taken back when you said that. That's so profound, actually. Is that a common thread that you're seeing in lots of companies?
Yeah, it's something I actually recently posted on my social. Like, if you don't trust your employees, you cannot trust that your employees are going to trust and care for your customers.
Yeah.
Because your employees are your first customers. I say that all the time to my clients. If you don't love your if you don't love your employees more than your customers and show them that love, they're not going to love your customers. Why would they?
Yeah.
So for me, an act of love is trust. Like, you have to trust that they are doing what you've hired them to do. One of my favorite quotes from my Steve Jobs is, why are you going to hire smart people and then tell them what to do?
Love that.
Whole point is to let them be innovative, because they're the ones who are going to take your company to the next level.
Yeah.
So for me, building the proper KPIs, building the proper performance measurements and engagement measurements was the right play, and not the play into the lack of trust to your employees, because that's not going to get you anywhere.
And when you have that conversation, I'm really curious actually with the CEO, like, how do they take that?
I mean, it's 50-50. Some are really receptive.
Yeah.
And some are like, no, you don't know this business. You're just an outside consultant.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of what is harder to work with.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate to know that, to be with organizations and CEOs that have recognized, wait, why don't I trust my employees?
Yeah.
And if I don't trust my employees, what aren't they doing that they should be doing?
Yeah.
So that's where I can get a lot of work done. But when there are CEOs that dig their heels in, it's a little bit of a bigger problem. You know, how are you going to get? There are just different ways to figure them out. There are different opportunities. It just requires a little bit more work. To be honest, a little bit of one-on-one coaching, like where are your trust issues? Are they about you and not necessarily about your organization?
Yeah. That's the thing as well, I think, that is to remember, isn't it? Like when I work with companies as well, and when you do, like, companies are just made up of individuals. You know, there's not one that, you know, you have the company pillars and KPIs and stuff, but actually, like, it's the beautiful individuals what make the company. And actually, we need to look at each individual to be able to create that difference. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. So switching up gears slightly, talk to me about personal change, because obviously you are an expert professionally, but also personally. Say somebody's listening and either they're going through change or they're wanting to go through change and it's tough and it's overwhelming and they're resistant to it. What advice can you give to someone who's in that space? I know we touched on it briefly, but I do think that these are really tangible, brilliant things to share.
Yeah. So let's talk about that from a personal change, right? I recently kind of talked about in my social that your organizational change might be massively impacted by what people are going through personally.
Yeah.
So they might be right off the bat adverse to your organizational change because there's so much change happening in their personal life that they just want some level of normalcy. Like they just need something to say status quo. So personal change. You and I have talked about kind of the changes that have gone into my life, right? And I've had a lot of things happen to me this year, some good, some bad. But what I have found has been really, really helpful for me, and it kind of ties back to wanting static quo, finding a routine that I can control. And if that's getting up every morning, going for a walk, setting time aside to practice my instrument, these are like things that I can control, that I can level in status quo, that help me respond to these changes better. Yeah. Because there's a component that is status quo, because that's what we're always looking for. Something like it's like home base, right? It's like when you're playing hide and seek as a kid, you got to touch home base so that you're not out. That's kind of what that is, like home base.
Yeah, I love that. Finding some level of stability, whatever that is, where you can anchor yourself and come back to that. I mean, for me, meditation, you guys literally know that by now. Totally. But honestly, and also like my dog walk, like I have my like afternoon dog walk because I really hate 3 p.m. I don't know what it is about this time. And so I go on my dog walk then in the afternoon for like an hour and then I'm good at 4 again. It's bizarre. But those small things within the day, you know, my meditation in the morning and that in the afternoon keep me coming back to it. And so I guess if somebody's, you know, has that practice already and they're still struggling, kind of let's go a layer deeper. Like what's the next phase?
Yeah. So in my own personal life, what I've realized, everyone has an opinion about what's going on in my personal life, and that's fine. And what I think I've decided to do, I actually put my phone on Do Not Disturb for like 4 hours, and I just decided to kind of be with myself and ask myself, what about that conversation was real that bothered you? What about that conversation was out of love from your family that you need to recognize is that? And what about that conversation isn't real that you can discard? And I felt like those hours of silence in my own mind were really helpful for me to dissect that conversation, dissect the change that's happening in my life. Like, it's this massive change. I'm supposed to be getting married. It's not happening as fast enough for my family as they'd like. But this is a massive change. And for me, I had to sit back and think, well, I know that my family loves me and they're coming from love, but this is a change that is going to be so massive for me. I already need to process the change of that. Mm-hmm. I don't need to process the change of your feelings.
Oh, and so I felt that. Like, yeah,
disconnecting their feelings from my change was a really big deal. Mm-hmm. But it did take me to examine my relationship and like examine about my relationship and what about that change I'm ready for and what about that change I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. You know, like, am I the one who's kind of holding off because I'm not quite ready for that massive change? Mm-hmm. And what about that do I need to address and adjust? And yeah, I'm a little bit working through that, but I do think going a little deeper is turning off the world and asking yourself those important questions, like, what about this change is really horrible that I just don't want to embrace? Let's talk about all of those things. What are the positive things that are coming from this change? And then what are my reactions to both sides? And then if you've got negative reactions to either, you've got to find a way to turn that around into a positive. To me, it's sitting down and saying, okay, I know this massive change is happening in my life and I'm going to be nervous about where I'm going to live because it's not a crazy place in LA that I really want to be, but I do want to be with this person. And these are the ways I'm going to find happy outlets in that part of the state. I was going to say country. Mm. So I think that's a better way to go deeper.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's profound, really, but also it's really difficult to ignore things you can't change, because we as humans want to change. You know, we have this ability to show, we want to be able to showcase who we are, and we want people to be accepting of that, even if they're not. And if we're not, it's natural for us to want to change that. So to take your power back and be like, well, I know I'm coming from things from a good, you know, an authentic place. And if you can't accept that, then that's on you, is really powerful and something I'm still trying to learn at my age, because I was like super sensitive as a kid. Like, I probably still am quite sensitive now, and it's very, very difficult. But I think that that's the power. And if anyone takes anything away from that, maybe working on that as a goal going forward, kind of closing out the year, would be really, really helpful. And obviously going into the new year, just knowing you can only change what you can control. And that's exactly. Profound.
It's a big deal, right? Like, we hear that all the time, but how do we do it in practice?
Yeah.
And I really felt like shutting myself off for a few hours helped me do that. Because we know all we can control is ourselves. But with a world where there's so much stimulation coming in from every side, and I mean, I could have watched a television commercial and it would have reminded me of the comp, you know, so shutting everything off really was helpful.
Yeah, I think just even that simple task of putting your phone on do not disturb, and like, or put you know just have your phone elsewhere. It's not going to help you if you wake up and you go straight on Instagram. I am guilty of it sometimes, honestly. Same. Like, I can't help it. But I can control it. Like, it doesn't affect me anymore. It used to affect me, but things don't affect me or trigger me on Insta. It's an app. I can just close it and that's gone then. Real life stuff affects me. Real things, real people, real conversations, that affect me. And so that's something to work on. So it's fascinating, like, the work that you do, honestly. And it's like, we're just like scratching the surface, because the thing is as well, like, why your work is so paramount is that change is constant. You can't yeah. hold on to a situation or a comfort, you know, within a company. And if COVID taught us anything, it's that change is just going to happen and come from nowhere. Yeah. And you just got to go with it.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that I really dug into, which is why I actually built this course, right? COVID happened.
Yeah.
It happened to everybody in the world.
Yeah.
I was laid off, not the only person in the world to be laid off at that time. And then we're coming out of COVID. We're kind of going back to normal life. And then we're at bloody war. Like, then there's a war. And then California had a tsunami hit us. And we had earthquakes across the other. There's just so much change constantly happening around us that I thought we need to build skills on how to, like, kind of block change that we can't control and that's on the other side of the world and that might be impacting my day, but doesn't need to take up my mental space, and focus on the changes that are in my immediate circle that are tangible, and how can I be empowered by them and not fear-stricken by them? Because COVID was a fear-stricken change.
Yeah.
Being laid off was a fear-stricken change. War is a fear-stricken change. And so those things we cannot change or control. Like, they are changing and they are changing our lives. But the only thing we can do is empower ourselves to respond in strength.
I love that so much. Honestly, Chrissy, I feel like I could talk to you like all day, but I feel like that's actually like a really beautiful place to kind of start to wrap up. So before anybody goes, I always ask them, what is your mindset hack? Like, what's your one thing that you come back to that you would like to share with people?
My mindset hack. I love this question. I've listened to it on your podcast and I'm like, I honestly believe it is music.
Yeah.
You know, like, not listening to it because I am a musician, right? So I spent in those 4 hours today practicing for two of them. I practiced my instrument for two of those hours. And I just thought, it's so grounding. The world meant around me. Mm. It was just me and Mozart. And it was so nice. Mm. It was like, just transported to a different world.
I love that. I love that. And I know how passionate you are about that. And you perform and she's amazing. And everybody needs to come and follow you. So where can everybody find you? Where's the main place that you like to share your absolute wealth of knowledge?
I'm on Instagram at Your Organizational Psychologist. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can find me on LinkedIn at Mikhail Consulting Group.
Amazing. I'll share obviously all your details in the show notes, but I just want to say a special thank you. You're my dear client. I literally love you. My client now friend. And yeah. I just think you're amazing. Yeah.
We totally have plans to go on vacation together. And
100%. I'm coming to Napa. Yeah. I need to go to the wineries in Napa. Okay. It's on the list 2024.
Totally.
It's happening. Absolutely. Thank you so much, my darling. Lots of love.
Thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode as much as me. Chrissy is one of my dear clients, now dear friends, and I am just obsessed with her work. So please do give her a follow. It's really fascinating learning about organizational psychology, and she's created an amazing download that I will leave in the show notes for you guys to help you if you're on a journey of change. So you know what part of the podcast it is. It's time to get really comfortable, really cozy as we go into this week's mini meditation. And I want you to begin by drawing in just a nice deep breath, but almost from the top of the head all the way down to the feet. I want you to totally ground yourself there. And as you exhale, just release, let go, let the body sink down. Taking a moment, enjoying that feeling. Enjoying that feeling of accepting where you are of allowing yourself to settle where you are. Allowing yourself to be present. Allowing yourself to be still and be calm. And as you draw in a deep breath, I want you to imagine you are filling the front of the body, the chest, the belly, the heart space, the throat. Allowing space. Allowing you to take up space. Inviting in that incredible feeling of new beginnings, of things that are different, change, not always knowing the answers, which can feel scary, but is also incredible. Not knowing what's around the corner, but finding comfort in the discomfort. Finding a way to move forwards. Breathe in. As you exhale, release the breath all the way down to the feet. Ground yourself for a moment. I want you to enjoy this beautiful rhythm between grounding yourself and reaching forwards into the future, into the unknown. Finding comfort in your discomfort. Drawing in a few breaths here in your own time. Noticing your natural rhythm of breath and your natural rhythm in life. We all have our own pace that we move at. There's no rush. Take your time. Seek out the moments. Seek out the opportunity. Take your time. Breathe. There's no rush. Feel the rhythm of your breath and allow yourself to be in this moment. Allow yourself to be in the middle. Find comfort in this middle space. And allow yourself to not know the future. Allow yourself to be okay with that. Take as long as you need. I'll see you again next week.